Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Patrick Murphy. We're going to be talking about his book, How the West Was Lost, Coping with Life in a Strange New. Patrick Murphy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Hi.
Well, of course, Patrick's basic theme is that America has changed. It's changed dramatically since when I was growing up in the 1940s and the 1950s. And of course, he goes into the background of the history of civilization. So I'm going to let Patrick begin telling you his basic thing. Go ahead, Patrick.
All right. Well, what I do, I divide the book into two parts. The first part I call the problem, and the second part I call the consequences. And the problem begins with, first of all, the beginning, which is how we got to be who we are and what Western civilization really is. Western civilization, I say, is an outgrowth of the Roman civilization when it was sort of, you could say, impregnated with Christianity. The two combined and produced something new. When Jesus' disciples roamed through the Roman world and changed that place, a new civilization was born. It was a new creation, a new kind of thing. And for, let's say, 1,500 years, it developed. And it eventually produced, almost inevitably, inexorably, America. I also say that the only reason we're here, that's Western-type people in America, is because Henry VIII wanted a divorce. And it created a whole sequence of events. And it was the Protestant Reformation in England that drove the Puritans and the Pilgrims to come here. They planted this country 400 years ago, give or take. We were an experiment in godly Christian civilization. That's what we were. That's why America exists. Something happened after that. And I compare it to the wheat and the tares, the parable in the Bible, where a good crop had been sown, but the enemy came in and sowed weeds that looked just like the real thing. And the Lord said, well, wait till the end, because if you tear up the weeds, then you'll tear up the good crop too, because you can't tell the difference until it's ripe, until the harvest is ripe. Well, what we have seen on our land, in our wonderful country, is the tares growing and growing and taking over the crop. So that's the first half of the book.
Well, you know, I think it's so accurate, Patrick, because what most Americans don't know is that shortly after the Pilgrims arrived there at Plymouth and established their civilization, and of course by 1640 or so, we had the establishment of Harvard University, and 1650 or so, a group of people who had a different worldview came to this continent. And they, of course, were Rosicrucians. They were basically worshippers of the other god, because they may believe that man could create a perfect society. And, of course, they were totally free. They were free because they worshipped Satan, who gave them freedom. And they have been working in this country, there, and their descendants and disciples, whether it be in Masonry or Rosicrucianism or Theosophy or the OTO or any of the other organizations that are here. To change America forever. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Murphy. He's written a wonderful book. It's called How the West Was Lost, Coping with Life in a Strange New Civilization. And he talks about the development of civilizations. It's so important you understand that there have been many civilizations. Today there are different civilizations. We have a different civilization than the Japanese do, or the Chinese do, or the Indians, or certainly the Islamic people. A Western civilization was based upon Christianity. Well, Patrick traces civilization from the Greco-Roman civilization, which antedated Christianity and was based upon humanism and Eros and the man himself, and men creating a better society, then to Christian civilization, and traces the Roman Christian civilization that eventually evolved into what happened in Great Britain, and of course the development of the Protestant Reformation, and then the pilgrims coming to the United States to establish a Christian nation. And everybody knew we were a Christian nation until relatively few years ago, when the wicked people took over our courts and took over our government and began to change our perspective. And Patrick, pick up the story from there.
Well, you know, I do give all that background because it's necessary to understand where I'm going at, what I'm getting to. I have a website where people can learn more about the book, and I reproduce a page on that website. It happens to be page 184. I'm going to read a couple of sentences, not the whole thing, obviously. They're very short sentences. This is where the book is driving to. I say, why do we produce so many abused and neglected children? Why do we find it perfectly routine to learn that the barely teenaged girls are giving birth to babies and raising them without a man in the house? Why are our prisons filling up with young men faster than we can build them? I go on in that vein for a while, and this is what I'm trying to say. I can answer that question, why. I can say this. The great civilization that depended on the Lord Jesus Christ or the moral backbone, or let's say the skeleton of the body of the civilization, that great civilization no longer exists. What happened was, when the wheat and the tares were growing up together, the tares took over, and now the West no longer exists. I call this new thing the new civ, because no one's given it a name yet, and that's a catchy way to say it. If somebody gives it a better name, then I'll be happy to use that word.
Hold that thought right there for Patrick while I bring our stations on. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon, Patrick Murphy. His book goes into, the title is How the West Was Lost. So pick up the story there. Patrick is simply pointing out that the wicked people, the so-called tares of the biblical parable, where the tares and the wheat grew together, but the tares have overwhelmed the wheat in our civilization, and the wicked people are in control, and they're in control of just about everything, whether it be the media, the foundations, the university, the educational system, the government, our courts. They're working at every level of our society, and there are lots of good people out there, lots of good people who hold Christian values, but their numbers are diminishing every year because of what's happening in our schools, what's happening in our churches today, as we're coming up with new music and new interpretations of the Bible and turning our back on traditional Christianity.
You know, in chapter 4 of the book, I begin it with a little quote from a book called Propaganda by Jacques Ellul about how this can happen. And any regular listeners to Radio Liberty know what Ellul is talking about and what the propaganda, how the mind of a society can be molded by powerful forces. And then my comments begin, I always feel at pains in writing this book to make clear to the reader that I am not unaware of what I am asking of you. It may sound too hard to believe, but it's true. Now I'm not reading from the book anymore, but I'm always at pains. I'm always conscious that the reader can, this is almost too much to believe, that our civilization, it's almost a bait and switch, and suddenly we're in a new frame, worldview, frame of mind, whatever you want to call it. But it's true. And it's not unpleasant if you want to play, if you want to have fun if you want to frolic on tropical beaches and spend money, it seems like a wonderful place. Unfortunately, those frolickings, well, let's think, if we want to just sort of take a current example, of Bourbon Street in New Orleans a week ago. The frolicking and the delight in sin. Now, no one's frolicking and delighted in sin in New Orleans, but you couldn't convince them a week ago that judgment would come. Now, I'm not saying that all the people of New Orleans or that region deserve what happened. What I'm saying is we can frolic in this new civilization without reference to God, without any kind of moral structure. We can get away with that. But then it stops. Eventually something happens, because God won't be mocked forever. Unfortunately, I think we're all living on Bourbon Street a week ago. I mean, I think that that is what most of America is we're trying to have it both ways. We want the luxury and the wealth and the pleasure that wealth provides. But without this backbone, without this skeleton, this structure of moral, of biblical morality, it can't survive.
No, that was John Adams who said, our society was made for a moral and religious people. It would not exist for any other. It wouldn't work for any other. Our form of government with individual liberty, you know, had to have a moral people. And when the people ceased to be immoral, then the freedom would soon be gone. And this is exactly what's going on today. And people don't understand it. When I went to medical school, abortion was wrong. You could not certainly do a hysterectomy on a woman without having several consultants admit and attest to the fact that she was not pregnant and you were not going to take a human life unnecessarily. We've killed, sacrificed to Satan, and that's what it really is all about, because this whole movement is satanic, over 40 million unborn children, and paid for the murder of hundreds of millions throughout the world with our tax dollars as part of the American foreign policy of population control throughout the world. But where is the indignation in our churches? Oh, a few of them are involved, you know, in the right to life movement, but a lot of ministers don't want to talk about that regularly because it makes people feel uncomfortable, and you wouldn't want anyone in your congregation to feel uncomfortable, would you?
You know, in my concluding chapter, when I first presented the book to people who I presented it in incomplete manuscript form to certain people I believe that might be able to help guide me into the final form, I did not have a concluding chapter, and many people came to me and said, you know, you got to conclude this thing, and I said, well, Americans want a happy answer, and I don't have one. So I prayed about it, and I came up with, I believe, everybody said that this ties all the pieces together, and it's a very satisfactory conclusion. And what I say is, as I wrap up the book, that the future looks like the Christianity of Francis Schaeffer, in my view. In other words, the great revival that many people pray for, that will restore the America that we remember, cannot be, that's a hopeless dream. That is not what we can look forward to. But we can look forward to the kind of Christianity that Francis Schaeffer practiced. He was almost shunned, I would say. He certainly separated himself and lived a very humble type of existence where seekers could come to him and have the answers that the Bible can reliably give. But I think that the institutional church is turning its back on the need, the genuine need, the true kind of revival, the internal revival. It's a shame to say this. I don't like it. But as I conclude the book, I'm saying what we have to prepare for is a kind of Christianity that we're not prepared for at this time. I don't know if I changed the subject, but I felt like that was a good way to answer what you just said, Dr. Smith.
And, of course, what sort of Christianity do you anticipate it's going to be? Certainly the Christian Manifesto that Francis Schaeffer wrote was in reply to the Communist Manifesto,
right.
Was it in reply to the Humanist Manifesto. But a lot of ministers didn't like the Christian Manifesto.
No.
Because it convicted them, because they refused to speak out. And it was his feeling that ministers had to be involved in the affairs of society as well as in preaching the gospel. And
whoopsie.
Most people have been told, oh, you don't want to talk anything about society. You just bring people to Christ. And but, of course, don't ever, of course, talk about sin or you know, hell or judgment at all, because that will make them feel bad, and maybe they won't listen to you, and they won't stay in the church. So give them sort of a watered-down form of Christianity, and that's all you have to do.
And it's a terrible shame that the world did not embrace Francis Schaeffer. You talked about the coming evangelical train wreck. And you talked about, and in A Christian Manifesto, it's maybe his last book, I'm not sure, but it's close to it. And he was very, very discouraged. I mean, no one was responding to his call, but I believe that the fruits of that ministry were absolutely astounding. And I believe that the fruits of the future ministry of the church will be just as astounding or amplified, but they won't be institutional. In other words, they won't be giant scale in terms of money and fame, and they'll be quiet and behind the scenes, but it will look like the great revival that's currently going on in China and in many parts of Africa, places where millions of souls are being saved, but it's not giant kind of human society measures of success that you could track it with. I think that this is what we should prepare for, because we live now in a new civilization, a civilization that believes in abortion and that it's a right, a fundamental right. And we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So we must prepare our hearts. We must prepare ourselves to deal with the people that are growing up in the world today. We have to think of them differently than we used to. We can't woo these young people back to the West, because they're growing up with minds that were not made by the West. They can't be wooed back to home, because it was never their home. So we have to think, I say in the book, it's like when ancient Rome was being invaded by Christian ideas, and the people who were the first converts to Christianity in Rome were the slaves. They had nothing to lose, so they were the easiest ones to understand the benefits of trusting Christ. Well, the patricians, the owners of the slaves, the elite classes, they didn't have anything to gain by switching to Christianity. But they looked at the lives of their slaves. The conversion experience changed these people. And gradually, the Spirit moved them into the Christian camp. I think that we have to look at it this way from now on. Those of us who grew up with Western minds, we find it very hard to think of it in these terms. But the reason I wrote the book is because I think that we need a wake-up call to realize that the old evangelical approach really won't work anymore, because it's fundamentally different. The situation has changed.
Well, I think until the church addresses the problems that face us today, and the fact that there really are dark spiritual forces, we've become a pagan society, and we've done that because the Christians allowed it to. And now I see them all rallying behind, you know, oh, we're going to change everything when we get a new man on the Supreme Court, and everything's just going to be fine. And the same administration that rewarded William Pryor, who was the attorney who destroyed Judge Roy Moore, the Tenth Commandment judge, is telling us that Judge Roberts is going to be the solution to all of our problems. People don't understand. This is a spiritual battle. And the people who destroyed, Judge Roy Moore, are not going to put somebody on the Supreme Court who would hold to the values of Christianity. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Patrick Murphy, and we're going to be talking about his book, How the West Was Lost. It's a fascinating book, very well written. We certainly recommend it to you. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. And of course, when we reply, when we return, we'll be glad to take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295.
four-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Murphy. His book, How the West Was Lost, and of course we carry that here at Radio Liberty because we think it's an important book to begin thinking about what's really happening to our society and how we got to where we are today. And believe me, the terrors are in complete control of the major the major organizations which shape the reality of the American people. That's why in schools they will not allow even creation to be mentioned. That's why in our schools we can't have a Christmas holiday. We can't have an Easter holiday. It has to be the spring recess and the winter holiday. We can't talk about Christmas, or we can't talk about Jesus Christ. We certainly could never have prayer in our schools as we did when we were growing up. Why? Because the evil people hate God. There is a conspiracy against the God of the Bible and against Christianity, which is the very foundation of our society. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as you analyze it, of course, Patrick, why you're saying we live in a completely different society, and I think you're right.
You know, it's difficult for most people to understand, and I do give some, I go into some detail to trying to explain what a civilization is and how it has a thought backdrop, you know, the set of assumptions about reality and how it can be completely different. I use Samuel Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilizations, as a touch point, as a reference, you know, as to how to think about this thing. And one thing that Huntington in his book is very focused on is Islam, and I give a lot of attention to Islam in the book. I give a whole chapter and then an appendix about Islam. And I say in my book that Islam is a protected religion in our time. Your comments, Dr. Stan, just a moment ago about how things are different now in terms of denial of Christian reality in government, right? In just our day-to-day living, corporate living. Well, why do we have to now include Mohammed's religion with Judaism and Christianity? Why is that? That's, to me, what I say is Islam is now a protected religion, and the reason I believe it is now protected is it's an anti-Christian religion. It's a religion that was designed to subvert and ultimately destroy Christianity. And I do a lot of analysis on that subject in the book. I am very, very concerned that we have lost our bearings entirely. Now, why did we lose our bearings? We lost them because the civilization was allowed to slip away, and now we don't assume the truth of Christianity. We don't assume the truth of the Bible. We assume something different. That, I think, is the key to understanding the problem that we face. We no longer assume the truth of Christianity. That is not the thought backdrop that we all share. And in the past, even the bad guys, I mean, if you remember in the movies, for instance, and of course movies are not reality, but they do shed light on how we thought in the past. The bad guys in the movies would say, "I'll meet you in hell," just before they, you know, swing on the rope or they get shot by the guns. They say, "I'll meet you in hell." Well, what do they mean by that? They knew they had made a choice. They didn't make the right choice, but they enjoyed their lives on earth, and they know that they were going to pay a penalty of going to hell. They assumed the Christian biblical worldview. No one in a modern movie would say, "I'll see you in hell," you know, just before they die.
Well, you wouldn't even see that mentioned in most churches today, because hell doesn't... I heard one of the leading ministers in America say, "We used to talk about hell, but we don't talk about it now because it doesn't sell well." It doesn't sell well? I didn't think Christianity was a sales job, but, well, I guess maybe to some people it is.
Well, it has turned into that, and you've done a lot of good work on that. The whole, you know, Rick Warren approach has swept us, you know, almost like a tsunami off our foundations. Thank God for Dr. Stan revealing that stuff.
Well, thank you. But anyway, I think that you, our listeners out there, will find a great deal of truth in this book. How the West was lost, coping with life in a strange new civilization. And you have to understand, as he refers to Samuel Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilizations, that, you know, we are in a clash of civilizations. And the trouble is, we are losing. Perhaps, according to Patrick, we've already lost. We've lost the Christian foundation of this once nation. And look and see what our leaders are doing to us today. And, of course, where is the outcry from the Christian church? Why, it's muted in its silence.
most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Murphy, his book, How the West Was Lost. And it's really going into the background of what has happened in America as we've moved away from our traditional Christian values. At one time, everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation. The Supreme Court had repeatedly held that America was a Christian nation. And this is what was taught in our schools, and this is what was proclaimed from our pulpits when they were flaming with righteousness. But why most of our churches won't even have a Christian flag in the church today, as if somehow that is anti-Christian to have an American flag. They don't have an American flag in the church because that, of course, is against their belief. After all, there's a wall of separation between church and state. Who created that? The Masonic judges in the Supreme Court who wanted to destroy the Christian foundation of our country, and they've really done it. Well, Patrick, what would you suggest to people today? They read your book. I mean, they see that what you've said is true. The terrorists have taken over our society. The wheat has floundered and been trampled down, and the tares are in complete control. And so what is your suggestion? How will we, or can we, reclaim our heritage of freedom, which is based upon the Christian foundation of this country?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to be optimistic in those terms because of the ground that has already been taken. And I try to avoid eschatology in the book, but it's sort of inevitable that it looks like, you know, end times type situation. But we don't have to focus on that. What we can say is this, that there has always been a remnant, there always will be a remnant, and we were never promised any more than being part of the remnant. The Lord Jesus did not tell us that we will be rich, prosperous, and luxurious. He told us the opposite, in fact, that we will, that we should be expecting persecution. That's what he warned us of. We have no right to demand that God provide us with luxury. Now, if we get it, that's a bonus, but we always have to be very careful whenever luxury is available to us, because we lose our focus on him. This is inevitable. This is part of the fallen state of man, even if you're a saved person. So, I recommend that we take the attitude of the remnant, and we do what we can to rescue other souls, and that means preparing ourselves. It means knowing the Bible very well. When Jehovah's Witnesses knock on our door, that we don't hide behind the curtains, that we know how to answer them. Because if God sends somebody, you know, right to your doorstep, and they knock on it and want to talk about Jesus, and you can't talk back, if you are afraid, well, that's an indication that you're not prepared. So, the minimum we can do while things still look good is be able to talk to Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, give answers to Islam. Christians have no idea what Muhammad said about Allah. In general, you could say this is a pretty fair assumption, that no Christians, let's say 5%, might be able to give a good answer. Prepare ourselves. Do what Walter Martin would have recommended. Be prepared to answer each of the cults as they come to your door. When you have gotten to that point, in the meantime, of course, you do your normal stuff. You do everything that's required of being a good citizen and all the rest of it. But you focus your attention on preparing to be part of the remnant. Because when the tsunami sweeps us away, which I believe will happen. I mean, I think it was Billy Graham that said, a lot of people have had this quote attributed to them, if God doesn't judge America, he must apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We should take that view, I mean, in terms of how we live our lives. Prepare that God might judge America. Now, where will we be if he does that? What have we done with our time? Did we spend it watching television, or did we spend it getting ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect? And this is the most important part, the gentleness and respect.
Well, of course, Patrick, I think that we don't know what God's plan is, but I think we need to be working in every way we can to try to awaken others as to what's going on. What I do is very, very simply. Is because I believe you can't sell life insurance unless you can convince people they're going to die, and you can't bring people to Christianity unless they know that there is a real problem, and who knows, perhaps God will produce a revival. Our job is to do our best. Well, let's go to Roger here, calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question? And again, for our listeners out there, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Roger, how are you doing?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. And Patrick, I'd like to ask, does your book go into, or you otherwise given thought to, I think, a big contributor to the losing of the West, and maybe more so now than, say, 100 years ago, and that is the failure to integrate to the extent possible the various academic, physical sciences, humanities, etc. It's like Auguste Comte got a one-up, and you might say did a service in having done that, albeit for nefarious purposes, and then he wove in those pseudos.
Roger, what was your question?
Well, integrating the academic disciplines, including, say, evangelism, because it's like we have this vacuum in evangelism for integrating political aspects into that as well, and to see, you know, that forms up into a cohesive whole, and I'll leave you at that, and God bless.
Thanks. Okay.
Well, thanks, Roger. for that question. I will say that the book, I've tried to keep a tight focus within the book so that it's not too big. But if you go to my website, which is howthewestwaslost.info, it's a new suffix, howthewestwaslost.info, you can download a PDF file of a speech I gave. Now, this is to a Catholic group, so the concluding section is particularly Catholic for the audience. But this is a speech that is well worthy of any believer in Orthodox Christianity. I think most would agree. You could omit the second couple of paragraphs if you don't like Catholics. But the rest of it is just fine for anybody who believes in Christian Orthodoxy. And I go into the Frankfurt School and Antonio Gramsci and how the systematic destruction of our way of life was planned, and they used the PhD degree, which came from Germany, the same place that foisted upon us the higher criticism. And that's where the Frankfurt School came from. And Antonio Gramsci, although an Italian, his ideas of communism and how to subvert Christianity were carried by these scholars who made a wonderful home for themselves in American universities. So this might not answer Roger's question exactly, but there's a lot of that theme in that speech. It's not in the book, but the speech in the book, they go together pretty good.
Well, I think it's important for Christians to understand that that Christianity and our seminaries were infiltrated 50 to 75 years ago. Why? Because, of course, the enemies of Christianity realized that the church, if it stood on its principles, could never be destroyed. But if it was infiltrated and destroyed from within, just like any great building, why, if you destroy the foundation, you destroy that very building. And I was so disturbed at the end of Billy Graham's crusade when he invited onto the stage Bill Clinton and said that he should be running the world, he should become the head of the United Nations.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no. And that Hillary Clinton should be running the White House and she should be elected president.
You're kidding.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding.
I have not heard this.
And, well, of course, you're not going to hear it because, of course, I think it tells why we are losing the battle.
That's sickening. That's unbelievable.
Well, there are many, many things that he said that Bill Clinton should be an evangelist, should be out there, evangelizing and spreading the Christian gospel. So we've got a really we've got a difficult situation in the world today.
I'm not surprised, but at the same time, that comes as a body blow. I mean, this is the guy that carries the torch in terms of the popular mind.
Somebody had just put up a notation that Bill Clinton had actually said he should be out pushing the gospel and evangelizing the world, and Hillary should be Hillary was actually to be would be do well in the White House, and that mention was made. So, you know, there's a real problem out there when our religious leaders are giving, you know, accepting a man as corrupt as Bill Clinton.
Mm. And Billy Graham, of all people. No, I know that, you know. Anyway, you see, I don't want to beat up. I was on John Leffler's show a couple weeks ago, and I said, I don't want to beat up on the church, you know, my own people. And he said, go ahead, I do it all the time on the show. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want us to have unity. But when you hear things like this about a person who supposedly carries the torch for evangelical Christianity, it makes you, it drives me to despair. What it drives me back to is my premise that we must prepare to be the remnant. In other words, when I talk to Catholics, I say we're going back to the catacombs. Prepare to carry the torch, just as so many Christians across the world have done. I mean, how is it to be a true on-fire believer in Christ in China? Well, you have to be you just have to. That's normal. That's normal. Now, why do they do it? Why do tens of millions of these people, you know, sacrifice their external hopes to flourish in a new communist/capitalist fascist economy? They do it because of the truth. And we must be prepared. You know, I think Americans are soft. I'm writing the book because we got too soft. We allowed the terrorists to woo us away from what it means to really be the wheat. We allowed it because it felt good. And it is good. You know, nice computers and iPods and beach parties when you're in, you know, summer, you know, spring break in college. I mean, it's just all so pleasant. Well, and then to be Christian on top of that, to have both, that's such a nice idea. We could be rich and luxurious and Christian too and saved. Well, why not, you know, if you can get away with it. But the fact is, the world has changed fundamentally, and our country is against the true faith anymore. And to have it both ways is going to get you.
Well, I really believe, Patrick, that we're going to begin to see God's judgment coming on this nation. I think we've already seen the first signs of it in our involvement in Iraq and the frustration that's taking place there. I think we saw more of it a few days ago. This is the greatest storm that has ever hit New Orleans, at least in my memory, and in the memory of many other people. And, you know, I believe God is going to begin bringing his judgment on this country.
Well, and you think about it, it's just one little storm. I mean, just one storm. I mean, God can cripple an entire region. And maybe that city will be uninhabitable forever. I mean, we don't know what will happen 4 months from now. They might just say, well, it's a lost cause. We don't know that.
Well, I think that they'll probably get it taken care of. But nothing is going as it should. I mean, they were supposed to repair the levee, the first thing you'd want to do, but they didn't. Somehow or other, the helicopters just didn't show up. They had the sandbags, they were ready to repair the levee, and then the sandbags didn't show up. Pardon me, the helicopters didn't show up. So, I mean, things are just not going well at all as they should.
Well, okay, say they get it all worked back together. It was just one storm. I mean, the thing is, if one little windstorm, from God's perspective, that's a tiny little storm, nothing like the Great Flood, if that can do so much damage, imagine what can happen next. Now, is America going to be brought to its knees and repent? I don't think so. See, this is really the premise of my book. America doesn't go back to Western kinds of reactions and reflexes because we no longer have them. Now, I say that the new civilization is a new thing, which means that it's in its early stages, and so it's not set in stone yet. But I do say that there is a fundamental break, a difference. Normally, in the past, our country would genuinely return to, we would be repenting and we would be on our knees. But I don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening around me when I look at the media and when I hear people talking.
Well, the thing that, but of course, we could say it can't happen. I believe anything can happen. I believe God can do great and miraculous things, but it will only come if there really is repentance on the part of our people, or God brings that repentance.
Well, my question is, do we see that repentance happening?
We certainly don't see it now, and we just have to hope and pray that it does. We have to pray for revival. I'm not sure it's coming, but we have to pray for it.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I want the best for my country. I have a friend that I talk to quite a bit, and when we talk about, you know, that, you know, various things are going to happen, and we look at the problems, and I say, I have a daughter. I mean, I have friends. I have family. I don't want these young people to grow up in a world different than the one I grew up
well,
in.
I think, Patrick, you have to realize that things are going to have to get very bad in America before people begin taking a second look at things. Affluence is a terrible curse, and it takes people away from the Lord. It takes people away from their first love. I think things are going to have to get very, very bad before people begin looking for the Lord again. And at that time, I hope that the work that I've done and that you've done and that the other people who are involved as we are, people will remember what they've heard and remember from whence our freedom comes. It doesn't come from government. It comes from God. And you reject God, and you are rejecting government. You are rejecting freedom.
Well, I totally agree with you. You know, and I want to be more optimistic than I am, or than I sound, at least when I'm talking about the book. And the book is not a bleak and unpleasant book, but it does bring out, you know, how far we have traveled down the wrong road.
And I think the book is well worthwhile, and we do carry the book because it gives a tremendous historical perspective. The book is called How the West Was Lost, Coping with Life in a Strange New Civilization. Well, I think the world is changing, and I think it's going to continue changing and changing very rapidly. I think that the best times in America are behind us unless there's a great revival. And that has to be our hope, that God will intervene, but there'd be no reason to intervene and try to save America unless, of course, the hearts of the people are changed.
In the meantime, we should prepare, because we don't know what's going to happen next. And this is actually, all this preparation is what we should be doing anyway. Even if things were, you know, in their rosy scenario, greatest times, we still should do the same things, which is get to know the Bible very well and be able to give an answer to any cult that is on the horizon.
Amen to that. Well, we're out of time, Patrick. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Patrick Murphy. His book was How the West Was Lost. Fascinating read. We recommend it to you. And thanks very much, Patrick.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in
which we're currently
involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, In Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. BHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do carry Patrick's book on How the West Was Lost, Coping with Life in a Strange New Civilization. And ladies and gentlemen, America is changing. And America I lived in 50 years ago and I grew up in is no longer here. We've lost the value of life and the belief of the integrity of human life, and we see the things happening around us. We don't know what's going on, and you can't understand it unless you understand that there really is a conspiracy against God and God's people. And of course, all of this is aimed at destroying the very foundations of our society, and of course, getting God to withdraw his protection from this nation. Well, we do hope that many of you, of course, will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it to understand the forces that are aligned against Christianity. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it by itself or as part of a special with a video and audio tape and the book, and at a very, very special price. And then we hope many of you will want to understand what really happened on September 11th. We've taken all of my newsletters and put them into four 50-page booklets, and they are available as Foreknowledge Part 1, Foreknowledge 911 Part 2, and Foreknowledge 911 Part 3, and you can get all three of those for $9.95 together. Then we have booklets on the history of money going into the coming financial crisis, and then we have one on genetic engineering, population control. Each one $3.95, and we suggest you get them, you read them, you study them. You have our permission to reproduce them if you want to on your own and get them out. They will provide the information you need for the times that lie ahead. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't yet read Gary Kaw's excellent book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, or the other book that he has written on the New World Religions, we certainly recommend that. We think these give you an excellent view of the spiritual nature of the battle in which we are involved. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Hope of the Wicked, by Ted Flynn. For Catholics, we carry a four-tape set called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, as he goes into the satanic influence within the Catholic Church. It's an amazing, amazing four-tape set. But, of course, the satanic influence involves every aspect of Christianity, not just Catholicism. It is in all of the major religions of the world. If you'd like to know about Islam, we have, of course, a four-tape set on Islam. I believe it's called The Prophet of Doom, going into the background of Islam. It's my interviews with Craig Wynn, who spent many years actually researching the Islamic religion. And understand, if you read the Quran, you will find that Muhammad feared that he was possessed. And I think he really was. And you must understand the satanic forces that are aligned against our nation today. The average Muslim has no idea, because he's never really read this, you know, with any detail. But we have Craig's book, which is Islam on Islam, and of course we have the four-tape set, The Prophet of Doom. And then, of course, if you'd like to understand what's going on in America today, let me recommend the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, by Johanna Michelson, who was a medium who actually had the curse that she'd inherited from a great aunt, because she could actually contact the other side. The Beautiful Side of Evil, if you haven't read it, let me suggest it, because it shows what the solution to the problem is. And she, of course, Johanna spent a great deal of time over in Switzerland, center there that had been set up by Francis Schaeffer. And it was there, of course, she began to understand what she had encountered. And, of course, what she had encountered, these wonderful miracles she had seen, were actually demonic in nature. The other book, which might help you, would be Blood on the Altar, by Craig Heimbechner, going into the OTO. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.